Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In today's first reading, we read from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. And it says, "Thus says the Lord, you son of man, I have appointed watchmen for the house of Israel. When you hear me say anything, you shall warn them for me." Now when we hear this, we say, okay, you know, that makes sense. That's good. A prophet's job is to listen to God and then to warn people that are on the path or the wrong path leading to their own self-destruction. But remember last week, Jesus, the prophet Jeremiah, and St. Paul, they all reminded us of our three baptismal roles that we must live out each and every day of our life. The role of priest, prophet, and king. Priest, which means sanctification, to make holy, we must always be living holy lives. King, which means we lead people to God by being good role models and modeling our faith. And prophet, we preach the word of God always, and if necessary, we use words. And see, there's no way that we can just say, well, you know, that's the job of the priest, to call people to holiness, or to call people to a good moral life. No. Instead, that is our job as we live out the three roles, the three baptismal roles that we promise God. And see, these words that Ezekiel speaks, he now speaks to us. He continues, "If I tell the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not do anything to dissuade the wicked from his way, the wicked shall die for his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death." Now, this is probably one of the most troubling phrases in all of sacred scripture. It's very hard for us to take and understand. Now, notice, this is not Ezekiel himself speaking. It's the Lord. It's the Lord God speaking through Ezekiel the prophet, just like God has done prophet after prophet. They are God's spokespersons in the world. Now realize what God is saying to us. If we know something that displeases God, and we know someone is doing it, and we don't warn them, then God tells us that that person will die in their own guilt. But we are held accountable and responsible for that person's death. Now again, in all of sacred scripture, this is probably most or one of the most troubling phrases or passages. It's very hard for us to take. It speaks of judgment. At the time of our judgment, and when we stand before the Lord, God may ask us, you know, you saw this person, you know, going down the wrong road, engaging in behavior that's destructive to him. Why didn't you speak out? Why didn't you try and help them? And you know, we all are going to face judgment. It's inevitable. No one is immune from it. We will all stand before the Lord. And when we do, we cannot say, virtue was not convenient, or someone told me to do these things. That will not suffice. And the Lord will ask us, you know, when you saw this person, you know, engaging in this destructive behavior, why didn't you intervene? Why didn't you help them? Well, we are all on for each other. We have to recognize that we are the watchmen for the house of Israel, as Ezekiel is telling us. Now, what are some of the standard objections? Well, first, someone may say, well, you know, that's none of my business. I have enough to worry about in my own moral life, let alone worry about others and their moral life. You know, whatever those people do, that's their business. It's none of my business at all. This is very hard for us. It's very uncomfortable for us to think of this moral critique. We don't want to do it. You know, we say, you know, I know this person is engaging in an immoral lifestyle, but let someone else talk to him about that. Or there's other factors too. It's the who do you think you are factor. You know, we go up to a person and we say, you know, I'm very concerned about you and your way of life, and I think it's harmful what you're doing to yourself. And they will respond by saying, you know, who do you think you are? You know, first clean up your own life. Then you can come and judge me and how I live my life. Now, these are all objections to what Ezekiel is telling us. They're excuses, but they hold no water. If we are honest, we are all in this ourselves. We all make up the body of Christ. And if just one person is engaged in behavior that is destructive to themselves, then it will eventually affect the entire church, the entire body of Christ. I'll give you a good example. There's no way the liver can say to the stomach, you know, stomach, I know you have cancer and are ill, but you're not going to affect me. Wrong. You know, if that stomach isn't treated, then eventually all the other organs in the body become affected, and then the whole body becomes gravely ill. Well, so too with us. Even if one person within our faith community is engaged or walking down the wrong path, eventually the whole community, the whole body of Christ will be affected. More to it, if we take that who do you think you are factor too seriously, we will never say anything to anyone about any type of issue that they may be bearing or have in their life. Again, if we know that someone is walking down the wrong path, we must summon the courage to tell them that because of our own concern for them and the concern of the body of Christ, our church. I'll give you a great example of this. Just a few years ago, I had a priest friend that went to a seminary to go to retreat. One day, he went to the gym to work out. Well, as he entered into the gym, he saw two teenagers, and he saw the t-shirts that they're wearing. Well, the t-shirts essentially depicted a very bad message, one that was deeply degrading to women. Now, upon seeing this, my priest friend kind of grimaced to himself, but then went about his business of working out. About 10 or 15 minutes later, a young woman came in to work out. She was about 25 years old. As soon as she saw those teenagers and the t-shirts that they were wearing, she immediately went over to them and she started upbraiding them. She said, "Do you know how gravely offensive those t-shirts are to women?" Now, as she was upbraiding them, this priest saw the whole thing and he heard it too. And he saw these teenagers, they were staring directly down in the ground. They could not look this young woman in the eye because he could tell they were very embarrassed. And the woman continued. She said, "Don't ever wear these t-shirts again in public. In fact, don't even treat women like this. Would you want your mother or your sisters to be treated like this?" Now, as this priest saw this whole thing unfold, he thought to himself, "Good for you. Good for you, young woman, for your moral stand and how you corrected these young men." Then he thought to himself, "Here I am, a priest, you know, a leader of faith, and I didn't even have the courage to go and confront these two teenagers." Instead, this woman had the courage to speak out. This woman had the courage to live out her baptismal role as prophet. See, this is a great example of fraternal correction, what Ezekiel and Jesus are trying to teach us this weekend in the readings. You see this up and down sacred scripture, fraternal correction, in which we see a brother or sister in Christ going down the wrong path. Therefore, we must act like a prophet and correct them out of concern for them as well as the body of Christ. So how do we do this? We'll turn to the second reading from St. Paul. St. Paul says, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." Well, you say to yourself, well, that makes perfect sense. Now remember, when you hear that phrase, love one another, it doesn't mean love as an emotion or a feeling. Instead, it is to will the good of another. Now, sometimes that can be hard to do. Again, take that example of this young woman and the teenagers. She loved them. She willed the good for them so that they would know how to respect people, especially women. Did she awaken in the teenagers a warm feeling? No. Instead, she awakened in them what was good and how to treat others with respect. And see, therein lies the lesson of fraternal correction. When we use fraternal correction to others that are going down the wrong path, and when we use it motivated by love to will the good of another, it will always be effective. And see, turn to the gospel now. Now it makes sense. Jesus is teaching us fraternal correction when he says, "If your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother." See, this is fraternal correction. Now, what's the temptation here? When you see somebody going down the wrong path, to talk about them to others, to gossip about them. For example, you know, "Did you see what he did last night? Oh my gosh. Did you hear what she just said a couple days ago about your children? I can't believe that." Worse yet is when we see a person engage in destructive behavior, we feel a sense of moral superiority. We say to ourselves, "You know, did you see what he did last night? I would never do such a thing like that in all my life. Did you hear what she said about your children? I would never say that about anyone. That's terrible." We must avoid that temptation and follow the wisdom of Jesus Christ and the prophet Ezekiel. Go directly to that person and privately tell them about their behavior and about your concern for them. Once again, that's exactly what this young woman did. She showed her concern for these young teenagers. She wanted to let them know that they must respect all people. And see, we can do it ourselves. We, like this young woman, can summon the courage within us, courage of the Holy Spirit, to do just that. Practice fraternal correction. We must be the watchmen of the house of Israel. Notice further what Jesus says. He says, "If he refuses to listen to him, tell the church." Once again, the church, the body of Christ, is affected by even one person engaging in a destructive lifestyle. And see, that's why at the very beginning of Mass, we have the penitential rite. You know, we recognize our sinfulness and ask for God's forgiveness. That's why after the gospel, after the profession of faith, we pray the petitions. We pray for other people that are having difficulties, either in this world or in their own lives. And so we as a church have a duty and responsibility to practice fraternal correction for others. I'll leave you just one last thought. One way not to love another is not to warn them, not to practice or offer fraternal correction for them. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.